Welcome in to a new edition of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm super excited about the episode today because we're going to change things up a little bit. And for the next couple of weeks, the one and only Mike Hilton is going to be joining me in studio as my co-host. And we're going to start off today talking to Mike just about him, his story. But then moving forward, we're going to get a couple different Bengals players in here. Mike's going to take his stab at interviewing players. And we're going to have some fun just helping Bengals fans and listeners get to know more about you and your teammates. So I'm super excited to have you in studio today.
I appreciate you having me. I'm excited about the opportunity. We're going to have some fun with it.
So when I first thought about wanting to do a player-centric podcast, you were my first and only thought, because as I mentioned to everyone in the studio right now who works here, I was like, Mike Hilton, he's first team, all energy. And when I think about your first season in Cincinnati, that was my first season covering the Bengals. So we both kind of started in same year. So I don't think it was you that was the reason the team went to the Super Bowl. I think it was me.
It might have been, you know.
But, you know, right away, it was really obvious. Just you have such an infectious personality, and you could tell the locker room gravitated to you right away. And obviously, you know, in your second year, it seems like you're taking on a leadership role because it happened pretty quick. You're now one of the oldest guys on this team.
Yeah, it did. You know, these last couple of years, Jesse and Von have been the guys, especially in the secondary. And those two aren't here no more. So the guys and the coaches kind of put their weight on my shoulders, but they know I'm the guy that can handle it and lead the guys in the right way.
So I think you're most famous for your mic'd up clips in the Cincinnati community. Of course, what you do on the field speaks for itself, but in going back to your personality, have you always been so outgoing?
So honestly, no. Throughout high school, I was definitely kind of a shy kid, but you know, just growing up, meeting people, I kind of just opened up more, you know, really started to become who I am now. And, you know, it's kind of working out for me. You know, people love me around here, and, you know, I just try to give the love back.
So I think before we get to where you're at right now with your career, let's go back to before you became this household name that is Mike Hilton now. And I think a lot of people see what you do now, but don't realize just how much you had to go through to get to the position that you're in. And it's fitting because the draft was just last weekend, and the Bengals will start the rookie mini camp this weekend, and they'll have a number of undrafted free agent players. And you go to those rookie mini camps, and sometimes you see players that are undrafted free agents, and you're like, wow, that person really flashed. But then you go into, well, can they actually make the 53-man roster, which is so hard to do.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your journey. You played at Ole Miss. Yep. How did you end up at Ole Miss?
Coming out of high school, I was a 3-star running back. I played running back in high school.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Came out of high school, had about 5 or 6 offers. Ole Miss was my best, and, you know, obviously playing in the SEC, me being from Georgia, not too far from Mississippi, it was an easy choice. But I went up there, you know, I kind of started like my NFL career. I was down on the depth chart, but I climbed my way up. I was able to become a starter probably midway through my freshman year.
At running back?
I switched.
So when did you switch from running back to corner?
As soon as I got in for the summer for workouts.
And was that just a conversation a coach said to you?
It was. And I remember these words. He said, if you want your best shot at the lead, you'll switch to DB. And that's stuck with me ever since. And I wasn't happy about the switch, but I know, like he said, for my opportunity to go to the next level, I had to do it. And, you know, it's worked out for me.
So you became a starter as a freshman at Ole Miss in a position you've never played before. How were you able to do that?
It's crazy. it's just, you know, I guess let my instincts do it. You know, I felt like I was always the best athlete on the field, and DBs are usually the best athletes on the field. So it was a smooth transition. And, you know, after that first game, I fell in love with the position, and knowing I got the opportunity to take the ball away and just make a lot of plays.
So did you play slot corner right away, or did they try and put you outside?
So my freshman year, I actually started at dimebacker, and my first game I started was against Johnny Manziel.
Wow. And tell me about that experience.
I was the quarterback spy. You can check it up on tape, too. It's on there. I got a sack on Manziel, my first start.
Wow.
And, you know, that's kind of where it took off. You know, that's when I think the coaches kind of let me become who I am. I gained their trust, and they put me out there to make plays, and that's what I did.
So then you went on to play your sophomore and junior year. Mm-hmm. Did you play your senior year, or did you go to the
I played all 4 years.
Okay.
Played all 4 years.
How was your experience at Ole Miss?
Oh, it was great, man. It's one of the best experiences I've had. One of the best college towns in all of America. If you get a chance to go to Ole Miss, make sure you go. But, you know, just being around that community and just know how much love they have for their players and the staff, you know, it was just a welcome home feeling.
Well, it's on my list, and it's hard, obviously, as you know, playing. Bengals play on Sundays, so it's hard to go somewhere on Saturdays and make it back for a work day on Sunday. But the Grove, seeing a game at Ole Miss, has always been something I've always wanted to do. I've heard it's a pretty incredible experience.
So I've never personally gotten experience because I'm playing, but
you haven't been back for like an alumni game or anything?
I haven't probably been back about 3 or 4 years. I need to go back.
Yeah.
But I never experienced, but just hearing from, you know, classmates and my family that went, it was one of the best party atmospheres they've experienced. So one day I got to get down there and see.
Who else besides you in the NFL is the household name from Ole Miss?
Evan Engram, tight end for Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Laramie Tunzel, best tackle in the game. Shout out to my boy Laramie. Yeah.
And he negotiated his most recent contract by himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who else we got? If we talk about
receiver,
Laquan Treadwell, mm-hmm. Robert Kimdichie, and I think we're the only ones that's really kind of sticking around right now.
Yes, that's a pretty good crew you have from Ole Miss. Yeah. So then talk to me about the experience of when you finished playing at Ole Miss, not getting drafted, and then signing with Jacksonville as an undrafted free agent.
So I'll say that was probably the toughest part of my career.
Think you were going to get drafted?
I had a good sense. Mm-hmm. I had teams calling. It was definitely like 6th round, 7th round projections, but mm-hmm. just having those teams call and kind of put in my ear that, you know, if you're there, we're going to take you. It didn't happen that way, and that was definitely tough because as an athlete, that's just the one dream that everybody wants is to hear their name called, and I didn't experience it, but. It was tough at first, but the support system I had at home kind of pushed me through it, and they knew once I got a real opportunity to go play, you know, I'd be able to stick around.
So explain the undrafted free agent process to those who don't know kind of the frenzy that coaches go into once the 7th round of the draft is over. I don't know, Duke Tobin made a joke about, like, what's the most enjoyable part? Someone asked him what's the most enjoyable part of the draft, and he said, the pizza after college free agency, because it's just kind of like a very long day. And, you know, the draft goes from about 12 to 8 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then for a lot of coaches and scouts, they're working for the next 2 hours making calls to players. It's like college recruiting all over again, saying, come, we know we didn't draft you, but we want you to come sign with us because you have a chance to make it, even though we didn't draft. Mm-hmm. So tell me about what exactly happened for you in that situation.
So once that 7th round, I remember it was probably 10 picks before the draft, and New England called me. And it was like, I think they had a 2nd to last pick. And they were like, if you're there, you know, we're going to take you. So those 10 picks went on by. Never heard from probably 10 minutes after that when the undrafted frenzy started. You know, they called me right back and say, hey, we'll offer you this to come here. But they gave me some time to think about it because I also hadn't gotten in touch with Jacksonville. And I want to say it was Dallas was the other team that also wanted me. All three had different, you know, obviously price ranges for me to come. But I chose Jacksonville because I felt at that point they were in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was my best opportunity to try to make a name for myself and try to make the team. Unfortunately, I didn't make the team down there. And it's crazy that I ended up back in New England after I got cut from Jacksonville.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know that. But I only spent a week in New England. And from that 1 week to about week.
With Brady?
Yes, I was there with Brady.
We'll get to that later.
Everybody. After that week I got cut from New England, I was at home pretty much from week 1 to about week 13, 14. And I remember I flew out to Denver for a workout, didn't make it there. Then Pittsburgh called me, flew from Denver to Pittsburgh, made that team, and here I am 7 years later.
That, I had no idea. Yeah, I thought you made Jacksonville's team right away, and then, back you then, know, that's how you ended up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, back then it was, now they do just one whole total cut. Mm-hmm. Back then it was after week two of preseason, they'll make the first cuts, and then at the end. Week four of the preseason.
R.I.P. to my summer when it used to be that. It was like, more cuts coming more today. Cuts Gotta coming. Pop the laptop open.
Man, it was tough. That, you know, being that was the first time I really experienced it, so I didn't know how to handle it. But me and my dad talked, he was like, you're not the first to go through this, and you won't be the last. And that's just kind of something that kind of stuck with me throughout that whole process.
The perseverance that you must have had to not give up and, you know, stay training in hopes. Like, I feel like that's got to be the hardest part is you're training. It's easy to train when you have a goal of something. You know, I think about it when I was running half marathons, you can see the finish line in your head.
Yeah.
How hard was that to stay in shape, to keep your dreams exactly what you wanted them to be while truly not knowing if it's ever going to work out for you?
And that's the thing. I actually stopped working out for about 2 or 3 weeks after I got cut from New England. I was just like, well, you know, maybe it's not meant for me, you know. But like I said, my dad said, you won't be the first and you won't be the last. And that kind of just cranked me back up and kind of just gave me the push I need to get back into training. And like I said, I flew out to Denver, didn't work out, flew to Pittsburgh, and boom, everything started falling into place.
So let's talk about the Pittsburgh experience, because that's where your career, it sounds like, really started and where it blossomed to the point that 2 years ago you signed your second contract with the Bengals and have now become a really important starter for the team and NFL-wide, you know, you're a household name. So you went to the tryout or camp, was it camp in Pittsburgh? Yep. What part of the summer? Was it the rookie mini camp?
It was the rookie mini camp where it all started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you feel like you separated yourself on the field in Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin and it was probably Kevin Colbert at the time, the GM, enough to make you a member of the 53-man roster?
I kind of just felt like I fit the Pittsburgh mold at that time. They wanted guys that are physical, you know, they were known for their defense and just having playmakers. And just throughout that whole process, I was out there picking off Ben and guarding AB. You know, I was just showing flashes of a player that they felt like could make the team. And throughout the whole preseason, I was making plays on special teams, on defense. And, you know, I made the team and everything just really just came together like that.
I have so many questions about multiple things you've said so far, but I'm gonna stick with Pittsburgh. What was the experience like of going up against AB? Because before AB has become what he is, and you know, obviously I'm not gonna ask you to comment on that part, but he was
the best receiver
in the game. And what was that experience like for you going up against him? People forget how talented.
He had a run about 6 years where he was just the best receiver in football. But me coming in as a rookie, you know, I'm kind of fanboying a little bit, honestly. You know, I'm in here with Le'Veon and Big Ben and AB, and I'm guarding AB and stuff like that. So I kind of felt like it was a wake up opportunity. You know, I got to guard these type of guys every Sunday if I want to play in this league. Huh. And, you know, going against him every day in practice, it didn't do nothing but make me better.
So did Pittsburgh play you in the role that you're in now, where it's kind of that hybrid?
Yep, they threw me
linebacker
right in the slot. Yep, I started game one for them when I made the team and starting slot corner, and like I said, just they let me be who I am.
Do you remember the call that Mike Tomlin made to tell you that you had made the roster for the first time in your professional career?
Yeah, I do. After that rookie minicamp, I was actually back at the hotel. You know, they were going through their probably the last 2 hours of who they wanted to make the list. And
you lived in a hotel during training camp?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lived in a hotel. Well, not during training camp. Training camp, we went to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went outside of Pittsburgh. This was during, like, rookie minicamp and all that. But once I made the team, you know, he called me. He's like, listen, I'm not supposed to tell you, but if you don't get a call, you're good. at first I was confused. I'm like, but you just called me. And like, I don't know how to respond. I was like, what? He's like, if you don't get a call, not from me, you're good. I said, okay, I'm going to take his word for it. And that whole 2 hours, I just kept looking down at my phone, just hoping it didn't ring for once. And once I found out I made it, you know, he called me probably about 30 minutes after the decision made. And he just said, congrats. You know, you really earned it. And we're excited that you're a part of the team.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, man. It was one of the best experiences.
What advice would you give, since we're talking about it, the Mike Hiltons of the world right now that didn't get drafted, that are heading into mini camps, whether it's last weekend or, you know, this upcoming weekend, about how to stay mentally strong and to know that just because you didn't get drafted doesn't mean your NFL career is over.
And that's going to be the first stepping stone for not getting drafted. Like I said, that's every kid's dream as a ball player, but it's just being consistent and knowing who you are as a player. You know, don't go out there just because you're in the NFL trying to do too much. Try to impress. You know, do what got you there. You know, play your game, know who you are as a player, and let it fall into place and make your plays when you have the chance.
What do you remember most about your career in Pittsburgh? Was there any iconic games that you remember this day?
I got a NFL sack record. I'm tied. I got 3-1 game. Me, Troy Polamalu, Jamal Adams, and I want to say Carnell Lake. He played for the Steelers back in the day. And so I'm down in the history books against the Houston Texans Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, one of those two. And that's something I'm always remember for sure.
It's amazing. So you played how many seasons in Pittsburgh?
4.
And then walk us through the next step of your career, which was you finished your final season in Pittsburgh. Did you at that time know you probably weren't going to be back in Pittsburgh, or did they make you think that they were going to re-sign you?
So the weird thing about that one is that was a COVID year. So the salary cap was down. Obviously, their numbers was down. They losing a lot of money. But once again, Tomlin called me like, hey, you know, we know the cap situation is tough and we know you'll probably have some other opportunities out there, but we're going to do our best to resign you. Nothing came about. Then I'm sitting down waiting for free agency. I get the call from Cincinnati. I wasn't expecting that because I didn't even hear from Cincinnati any time before, especially in within a division. You know, I wouldn't expect them to try to come get me, but yeah, it kind of worked out that way.
What do you remember about your games when you were a Steeler going up against the Bengals, which would have all been pre-Joe Burrow years?
Yeah. Just the physicality. It's funny, when I signed here my first year, the first time we played Pittsburgh, I sat there and I told the whole locker room how the Steelers think of the Bengals and, you know, how they look down at them as the little brother and everything. And I kind of just tried to tell guys, like, I know how they think. I know what's their game plan. I know how they're going to come out and try to out-physical us. And, you know, guys kind of rallied around that because they know personally it meant a lot to me to beat those guys.
Yeah.
And guys in the locker room really, like, jailed together for that one. And they know how much it meant. And, you know, it kind of started our run.
Right, and I remember that game vividly. It was early September.
Early September in Pittsburgh.
And it was a nice day because I was like, yes, going to Pittsburgh in September. Yep. It's going to be warm. But I kind of remember that was like the changing of the times, it felt like, for Bengals fans and for the locker room. Who was your matchup? Was Tyler Boyd your matchup?
Yeah, every year when we
episode. Give that us it. The inside scoop on what it's like to go up against TB.
Oh, man. We've had the best matchups over my whole career. And I'm pretty sure he'll say the same. You know, over there, Mike Tomlin, those guys had a lot of respect. They know he was the guy that was going to get the ball on third down in clutch situations. And, you know, they trusted me to go out there and play him one-on-one. So we've been battling for years. And I said it before, he's the best slot receiver in the game. And, you know.
Why?
Because he's not your normal slot receiver. If you look at most slot receivers, they're 5'9", 5'10", you know, twitchy kind of guys. TB's 6'1", maybe 6'2". And, you know, he the way he sits in zone, the way he's able to read coverages on the fly, and he's just as sure-handed as anybody in the league. You know, he's a quarterback-friendly player, and, you know, just what he can do in the slot is second to none.
I would have loved for just that matchup to be mic'd up, because having covered the both of you the last 2 years, yeah, there would be no shortage of trash talking
happening. That's the kind of thing that I think made me and TV kind of close to how we are now. You know, like I said, we've been going against each other for years, and we had those words of exchangement, and you know, it kind of just led us really having a lot of respect for each other and each other's game.
What was playing with Ben Roethlisberger like?
It was cool. You know, obviously I caught the back end of Ben's career, but you know, I want to say 2017 or 18, he threw for 5,000 yards. So he's just watching him just operate an offense, you know, watch him break tackles from D line. It's just a Hall of Fame quarterback. That was Hall of Fame quarterback that I enjoyed playing with.
Yeah. And when you mentioned you were guarding Antonio Brown, like those were the years.
The killer bees.
I remember that. You know what I think is interesting is growing up right outside of Baltimore, and then I interned for the Ravens for a year right when I graduated college. And that's kind of how I got my start in covering NFL teams. Mm-hmm. The Ravens and Steelers were rivals.
Yeah.
Our rivals. Yep. And it's one of the best rivalries in sports because the killer bees, like, both teams had these iconic defenses, whether it was Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata, or Steelers, it was Troy Polamalu. Gosh, I'm blanking on some of the linebackers that.
James Harris.
Yes, exactly.
All those guys, like.
But that's what I thought was interesting was I came to Cincinnati and all of the other reporters were like, it's Steelers week, asking Bengals players. And I didn't really understand it because I was like, they're not rivals.
Right.
So I thought when you were in Pittsburgh, was the rivalry that you guys all got up for Baltimore?
So I'll say there are two different rivalries. The one between Steelers and Ravens, there's definitely a little more respect in that rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like we respect
historical.
You, but yes. But when it comes to us, I think there's true dislike between the teams and the organizations. And I think that's what makes our rivalry just a little more.
You're talking about the Bengals.
The Bengals and Steelers rivalry. I think that makes it a little more active because of there's true dislike for each other.
Well, I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, but let's fast forward to the last two seasons with you. I think now the it game in the AFC North is Bengals Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You look at the quarterback play. That's kind of where it starts at. These two contenders. Like I say, it's the new rivalry of the AFC North.
So, talk to me about your first year in Cincinnati and what that season was like. I mean, not only was it your first season with a team, were you hurt by Pittsburgh not re-signing you, or were you excited for a new experience somewhere else?
Honestly, a little bit of both. Them giving me the opportunity to be where I am now, I'm always thankful and everything. So I definitely had a side that wanted to come back, wanted to spend most of my career with them. But on the other side, the opportunity, you know, to make some generational money, to take care of my family for years to come, you know, you can't beat the opportunity mm-hmm. like that. And knowing I still stay in the division and see those guys, you know, it kind of worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of the best of both worlds where it's like you get to remind this team. But I mean, I've talked to a couple coaches over in Pittsburgh and everybody just like couldn't speak more highly of you. So I think even though obviously it didn't work out, the respect level is there across the board.
Every time we cross the field each other, I go talk to every trainer, every coach, at least that was there while I was mm-hmm. playing. Every player is like they respect me and I respect them, and it's always going to be love.
So what was the Super Bowl experience like for you that season? What game did you feel like, and I don't want the coach speak answer.
Yeah, yeah.
We knew right the whole way.
For sure.
What game during that season did you really believe not only can we win the division, we can make a run to the Super Bowl?
The game we won the division when Kansas City came here. I think and Jamar put up 260, mm-hmm. I believe. We were down 14-0, you know, against those guys. Most teams wouldn't come back like that. And the way we played, nobody panicked on the sideline. That's when I knew, like, all right, guys got the right mindset, the right mentality. We just got to go out there and execute. And like I said, we were down 14, and we were able to come back and win the division against those guys. That's when I knew that that our momentum was starting to turn that corner, and it was hitting at the right time.
And then last season, what was that season like for you?
That season, I actually felt like that was good for us. Coming off the Super Bowl run, we started that next season. We started out 0-2, you know. So a lot of people outside the city was already counting us out, calling
like
us
was
flukes.
Last year a fluke?
What they call a Super Bowl hangover, mm-hmm. all that. So I actually felt like those first two games kind of woke us up in a sense, and we found the rhythm and racked out what 10, 11 straight before the AFC Championship. So. Got guys, whole mental was just get to the Super Bowl and win it, and we came up short.
So what I think is unique about you, and obviously people know that have watched many Bengals games, you, for your size and the way you hit, that's super unique, I feel like, in this day and age in the NFL, because it seems like every year it gets – softer and softer in terms of how they're trying to protect quarterbacks and what they're calling as penalties that weren't called in the past. Where do you get your moxie from? I mean, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
And how much you weigh?
185 pounds.
Where do you get the confidence to take down a Josh Allen? I mean, what is he, 250?
Probably about 260, probably about 6'5", 260.
Where does that come from?
Really kind of started just growing up. Playing with my brother, who's 4 years older than me. I'm always out there with his friends. So they're in high school. I'm in middle school playing football with them, tackle football. And it kind of just showed me, like, all right, I know, even if you're bigger than me, you know, I can play. And I don't know. It just translated to Sundays, man. I know I'm not the biggest, but I always feel like I'm the best player on the field, and I just make plays despite my size.
I have a couple more questions for you. I mean, I could talk to you for hours, which is why we're doing a podcast, because you're so conversational. Okay. Let's talk about going up against the receivers you go up against in practice. Yep. Give me, it doesn't have to be five, or if it is five, a list of some guys at this point in your career who have provided the toughest matchups for you. Like, who are kind of some of the it receivers from your perspective?
I obviously are three here. Seeing them every day, you know, all of them have the unique talents. So I'm go ahead and knock those three out. Those are understood. But two more spots. Somebody always definitely brought the best out of me was Jarvis Landry. Especially when he was in Cleveland and in Pittsburgh. That was one of the matchups. Like,
his career's been an interesting one. I'm kind of shocked he's flamed out the way he has.
Exactly. He was always talented. He does the dirty work, which I love. Uh-huh. Like, he would go block ends, block linebackers. You know, me being on the opposite, I'm like, okay, I can respect that because I'm tackling tight ends. I'm taking on linemen. So Jarvis was definitely one. And another, I would have to say, even though he's I think he's retired now, but Cole Beasley. He's definitely a guy that definitely made me bring out my A game. You know, just going against those guys, I just knew if I wanted to perform, I gotta match their intensity.
What'd you think of all that was made of Jamar not being able to catch his first training camp as someone who had to go up against him in practice?
So we honestly weren't tripping about that. Receivers drop balls, you know what I mean? It happens to everybody, but we knew what he was capable of just throughout training camp. We could see how explosive, how athletic he was. And we just knew it was going to take the time for him and Joe to kind of get their connection back going. And once that he dropped that bomb against Minnesota game one 2 years ago, that's when that light switch changed. And he's Jamar now. He's Uno.
Tell me a story about Joe Burrow that nobody knows, that someone, only one of his teammates would know, that explains the type of person or leader or player he is. Put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did. I can just go with a ping pong story because obviously you get in the locker room. You know how serious the ping pong gets. So I say this. Joe is probably the best in the locker room.
Shocker.
Yeah, is it? He's probably the best in the locker room, but I can't remember what week it was. Jermaine Pratt and I think Akeem Davis was playing, and I think he just walked in. You know, I can't say explicit stuff, but he just walked and said, "Get the fuck off my table." And then everybody just said, "All right, everybody started lining up to play him, and he was just knocking them off one
by himself.
One by one.
So he was playing two people and still being
No. He was playing somebody else, but he was just knocking them. Everybody else came up, lost, next, lost, next, lost. I'm just like, oh, he's like a true competitor. He doesn't want to lose a thing. And, you know, that's what I love about Joe. His confidence and his competitiveness is off the charts.
What do you feel like is in store your third season? As I mentioned, you're one of the defensive leaders now. Me and, of course, you and Cheeto are still in the DB room, probably the oldest, most experienced.
Yep.
Got a whole crew of young guys. Defensively, though, you were able to keep most of the starters.
Yeah.
A lot of people wonder what kind of makes this defense what it is. And, you know, a lot of people say the Bengals defense doesn't have the quote unquote superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of really good players.
Yep.
What do you think makes you guys such a cohesive unit that's able to be so consistent? And it always isn't, it doesn't have to be flashy for you guys, but like week in and week out, you're not a defense that misses a lot of assignments.
Yeah.
Just tell me a little bit about your defensive unit.
It's just us as a whole, our chemistry is second to none. Like, I know it's cliche, but we really love playing with and for each other. You know what I mean? Like, we go out there every day trying to get better for that next person. Like, we got our own little saying in the defensive room. Like, we're trying to feed each other's family. Like, we know we perform like we're supposed to. You know, you're helping that teammate. You're helping that teammate's child. You know what I mean? It's just those little things that just really bring us together. And like you said, we don't have no stars. So everybody know their role is important. Like, that offense isn't going to be worried about one person. They got to worry about all 11 of us. And we take pride in that.
Who is someone that, as their teammate, you – because you see a lot of things and you know the calls, which a lot of analysts and, you know, reporters, they don't know exactly what was called. So it's hard to judge if someone's out of position because you don't know what was exactly called. Who is someone that you think is, you guys wouldn't be the unit without him, but he doesn't necessarily get the praise or people don't talk about him as much that you think is kind of a really important piece to your defense?
So I got two. I'm going to start with DJ Reader. Just turn on the tape, man. He might not have all the fantastic numbers, but you see what he does. He dominates that line of scrimmage, and he lets guys, the linebackers, run free and do what they do.
You think he's one of the best defensive tackles
in
the NFL?
He just doesn't get the respect. Like, I don't know why.
Do you think
why.
That's because he doesn't get sacks?
I believe so. That's why I said
as much
compared to sacks, Chris Jones and, you know, Aaron Donald, guys that getting 10, 11 sacks. He'll get DJ get five, but he's just as impactful as those guys. And also, probably Logan Wilson, one of the best young linebackers in all of football. He's probably the most versatile linebacker I've played with as far as just pass coverage and being able to man cover running backs and tight ends, but also do what he does on rundowns and just making plays. So I can definitely say without those guys, we probably wouldn't be the defense we are.
Who started the whole, we're going to celebrate interceptions as a team with the group celebrations? Those are always my favorite to watch.
Yeah.
Snow Angels was pretty epic.
I want to say, who did start that? I want to say Lou actually just started that. One Friday practice, he was just like, when we get an interception, we just got to celebrate. And ever since then, every time we got some type of turnover, every Friday we're gonna. You see, we'll rehearse our we'll rehearse our turnover, and if we make that play on Sunday,
just on YouTube at night, like, how do you guys come up with so many ideas?
That Friday, we know we got that practice just to think of what we're gonna do, and we get a little ideas from the offense because they're obviously in scoring more and making plays, so they kind of give us their fair share of ideas.
Will that continue this year, even though Vaughn and Dressy aren't here?
Yeah, it's not gonna change. We know who we lost, but you know it's not gonna change who we are, and we're excited to get out there.
Well, before I let you go, I want to ask you a couple questions non-football related, just about you. You're a father to how many kids?
Two.
Two? Yep. A girl and a guy, right?
Girl, boy.
What are your kids' names?
My girl, Michaela, and my son is Mike the Third.
And what are the ages?
My son just turned one on yesterday, and my daughter is three.
What is your favorite part about fatherhood and being a dad?
Really just watching them grow up and seeing their personalities. I didn't have any sisters growing up, so I didn't really know how it was going to be having a daughter. Mm-hmm. But having her now, I can just see.
Your smile just lights up. That's
my baby. That's my baby. She's my firstborn, and I always wanted a daughter growing up. So now that I have her, you know, I can kind of just see the effect she has on people, the effect she has on me. It's perfect. And then with my son, he's a handful. I will say boys are a lot different. He's already more reckless than she is. And like I said, they got a decent age gap. But both of them, you know, they just make my day. Everything I do is for them. And they know how much daddy loves them.
Probably when you have a rough game or you guys lose, when you go home and you forget about it when you're with your kids.
I do. And what's crazy is after this past AFC championship, We usually games like that, late games, we don't let my daughter stay up and watch. But that one, you know, is an important one. So we lost and everything. We get home maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. She's wide awake. First thing I come home, she said, "Daddy, did you have fun?" And I was just like, at that moment, I was kind of like, all right, well, I ain't worried about the game now. You know, that's all I needed to hear to kind of change my whole mood. You know, obviously, I was upset about the loss and everything. But as soon as she said, "Dad, did you have fun?" it kind of just flipped that whole switch in. You know, it made me smile.
That's amazing. What do you want to do post your football career? Do you want to play for a little bit longer? What's the plan?
I definitely want to play a little as long as possible. You know, I let my body kind of tell me when it's time. But outside of that, you know, I would definitely want to get in some type of media. That's why I'm here with you.
Looking at a future media star right here.
It's possible. You know, also, me and Vi had our own show this past year. So kind of trying to just get into that media realm and trying to stay around the game, whether I'm coaching or, you know, just being around the game as much as possible.
Well, as a future media star, a lot of the media job is predicting. So before you leave, I am going to put you on the spot and ask you of schedule releases coming out this Thursday.
Yep.
And I know as football players, you say we don't care. So whoever is the next opponent, yeah. I'm going to ask you to guess which games you think will be prime time. Your upcoming opponents. Mm-hmm. So which of these games do you think will be prime time? Let me pull up the opponents.
I know we got some teams on the schedule too. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pulling up the future opponents. You play, I'll say them all at first and then we'll go through it.
Okay.
Obviously the AFC North, mm-hmm. Ravens, Browns, Steelers. At home, you play the Texans, Colts, Rams, Seahawks, Vikings, Bills. Away, you play, obviously, your AFC North games, the Cardinals, Jags, 49ers, Titans, and Chiefs.
Okay.
So of those games, whether it be home or away, which do you think will be primetime games?
We're going to have a primetime against Pittsburgh, whether it's here or away, and one against Baltimore, here or away.
Okay.
Obviously Kansas City, Buffalo, San Fran, I believe might be one. What's that? Five?
You can only max out at six. So I think you'll probably only get five to start, because then they can always slide you into that sixth spot.
Yeah, Baltimore, that's four. So one more. Oh, yeah, I think that's all five. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, KC, Buffalo, San Fran.
Okay. Those are your five?
I believe so.
All right. Well, we'll check back in with you next week, because the next time I talk to you, the schedule will be out and we can rehash that. And obviously next week we'll be joined by a player guest, and we'll keep that a secret until we get that person in here.
Yep.
But I had so much fun talking with you. This is going to be a blast. I'll let you go get to your workout. And thanks so much for coming in and joining me today.
I appreciate it. See y'all next week.